Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 76 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve. And today we're going to cover the week's news. We've got some recent stories with developer saying that PS5 is easier to work on than Xbox. A quick glimpse was given and a release date for the new Netflix show, Space Force. In tech news, we've got some new philanthropy by Jack Dorsey. President Trump is signing an order allowing us to go mine the moon. And some warnings given by Edward Snowden regarding government's response to this crisis. All right, let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 76. And another week of isolation down. And this week, we saw that first video on demand, straight to streaming movie that skipped the theatrical release. And I know, Steve, you got it.
Yeah, my kids love the Trolls movies, so I had to do it. It was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't as, you know, the first movie was really unique in how they did everything, you know, so you kind of walk in with expectations. You know, the first Trolls movie, you walked in with like zero expectations. You had no clue what this was going to be, and it ended up being a really cute, really fun movie. This tried to recreate the same thing with a different message. Hit its mark on a bunch of places. I did laugh out loud at a few things. Some of the characters were really cool. They tried to go deeper into the Trolls story and Trolls history and make it more of a deeper movie, I guess you could say. You know, but my kids liked it. I enjoyed it. I'd probably give it 3.5-4 stars. You know, had a good message of celebrating diversity, bucking at conformity. But, you know, $20. I got to watch it twice. You get it for 48 hours. You know what I mean? So I told my kids, I was like, man, you want to watch this again? You better watch it right now because I ain't paying another dub for you to have Trolls. You're going to wait for that Blu-ray. You know, so we ended up watching it twice over the weekend. And yeah, if you enjoy the first one and you are going quarantine crazy, you could check out the World Tour. It's worth it. Some decent songs because they spread the gamut of music, you know, so there's some country, there's some rock, there's some funk, pop music like crazy, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they release their numbers on how many people paid the $20.
Well, just because I think it's going to be hard because it's on like every subscription. So like I watched it through Apple TV because it was just easier to pay for it because it just charged my Apple account.
Yeah, and you can watch it on Prime.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to put in my credit card number or anything, so I just did it on Apple. That was my basic choice. But yeah, you could get it on Prime. You could get it on Vudu, all kinds of streaming services. So I don't know if they're going to be able, like, who shares these numbers, who doesn't, like, how accurate of a release they're going to get from it. But it is one of those numbers that I'm really curious about because of Universal's shot across the bow of of these, the theaters.
Yeah, and this is, you know, it's one of those movies that were projected to maybe make, you know, $100 million, $180 million or something like that as their overall theatrical run. So you got to think maybe they were hoping for near $100 million opening.
I would say they were probably hoping for a $30 to $50 million opening. So
that's probably more accurate.
If they did like 30 to 50 this weekend, then that's bad news for the movie theaters.
Yeah, especially for these minor titles that don't have the big mass appeal. I think it is. I'm still waiting to see more movies go this direction, but this one, like, it seems interesting to me. But my kids aren't—they're not $20 into this movie. I mean, this isn't pulling my $20 out.
Let's be real. You ain't $20 into any movie.
No, there's very few. there's like, very few.
I don't think you can name a movie that it's in your favorites list that you'd be like, yeah, I would have paid $20 for this.
I see
your dead stare off into outer space. You're like, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a movie worth $20.
Yeah, I mean, if like they put Black Widow on the video on straight to demand for $20, I'd probably buy it. I'd probably buy that because that's a movie that me and my wife would have gone and seen in the theater. We would have spent the $20 on it anyway, or more than that. I would pay to just watch that in the house. But it would have to be a movie that I go out in the theater and see. And I think you know that's about two movies a year for me.
Yeah, it's rare. It's rare. The podcast has upped it.
Yeah, yeah. It forced me to go see a couple movies this year that I wouldn't have otherwise. But
yeah, I'm still shocked you haven't seen 1917.
Yeah, I am too.
You can buy that. You could buy that now. Like you could rent it for like $5.
Yeah, I know. It's still. I mean, Parasite's free on Hulu, and I still haven't even taken the time to watch that. I just don't watch a lot of shows, and you finally convinced me. I watched the first like 2.5 episodes of Tiger King.
Boom.
So boom. So this is what happens.
Carol Baskins.
This is
fuck Carol Baskins.
This is what happens though, right? You browbeat me into submission here to watch just reality trash, and now I'm not watching quality production like Parasite and 1917.
Man,
with
quality
my time.
Production is subjective. Like tell me she didn't feed her husband to the tigers.
So yeah, we just watched that episode.
Tell me she didn't feed that motherfucker to the tigers.
Yeah. For anybody who hasn't seen it, I think I'm the last one to the party at this point.
If you haven't watched it by now, you ain't watching it, so fuck your spoilers.
I think I'm the last
spoilers.
One. Last one to the party anyway. It seems that way. It seems that I'm the only one who has no idea what's going on. And man, yeah, she...
No, the same anti-Game of Thrones crowd is boycotting this, so there's still a whole subsection of people that are like, nope, it's popular. Fuck it.
I love meme culture too much to not understand half the memes that are going around right now. That's the only reason why I'm watching it.
Yeah, meme Mondays are rough if you have no clue who Carol Baskins is.
Yeah, and no, I mean it's good, and yeah, I can't imagine that she didn't kill this dude.
It's such a glorified train wreck. It's so you can't stop.
It is ridiculous. I don't know. There were several different times where Natalie and I had to pause it and be like, are you serious? And even like the first like 15 minutes, Natalie knew nothing about this. She started playing it and she was like, is this like real? Like these are real people? Like this isn't like a reenactment. I was like, no, these are the people. Like this is life.
Well, yeah, they didn't green screen that arm off. Like no. Tiger got that arm. Yeah, the whole time I was watching it, all I could think about, not just the people that worked at the tiger farm, but the people that went to the tiger farm and were like avid, like, this is my 15th time. Like, I just love petting tigers.
Yeah, $350 a pop.
The whole time, all I could think about was these people fucking vote. They vote. They register. They vote. They punch the ticket. Like that was the overall like thing I took away from it, is that I just fear for this country when you have an entire army of people willing to work at a tiger farm for free. Like that to me, Carol Baskins is a diabolical genius. She is a diabolical genius.
No, she's an outright cult leader. Like that is wild. When they broke that stuff down. Yeah.
I don't pay employees. They're all volunteered interns. Like what? Yeah. Like what? You lose an arm to a tiger, ain't no workman's comp. You an independent contractor, and you ain't even getting paid. What about your family, man? Think about the kids.
And honestly, in my opinion, those that were working for free as volunteers for Carol Baskin are better than the ones that were working for $150 a week for Joe Exotic. Because at that point in time, at least on the Carol Baskin side, you feel like you're doing some level of charity. On the other side, you're just getting slapped in the face with underpayment. Like it's not even a thing of like philanthropy, and you think you're saving the cats. It's like this is your job, and you get paid $150.
And then you have the middle ground where you get a free boob job and get to be a harem of.
Oh yeah, that dude's wild.
Oh my God, this is real life, folks. This is real life. Like. That is what blows my mind, is we could watch crazy ass Alex Garland written movies and TV shows about sci-fi and talk about how crazy that is. The craziest thing of all is a documentary. It's these documentaries. It's real fucking life. It's insane. It's insane.
It is.
I'm so glad you started.
Yeah. We'll probably crush through it and finish it in the next day or two.
Because you can't stop. Because you can't stop.
Yeah.
You can't stop. Because you like the whole time since the first episode that he's doing calls from jail. So you got to know.
I know.
You got to know. Like,
how do we get to here?
How do we get to here? Oh, God.
Well, and it just, it blows my mind when things like this come out, because there's a documentary crew with this dude for 5 years.
And think about the footage they had that burned away.
What the fuck?
Think about the footage they had. This was the footage that the documentary crew filming the documentary crew got.
Yeah. So this is what... This is some crazy-ass hillbilly inception that I can't even understand. You know, when it shows the guy making the phone call, Joe Exotic making the phone call from jail at the beginning of it, and then it does like the flashback of, you know, 5 years earlier, and I was like, hold the fuck on. Who's filming this dude 5 years earlier? Like, that's the same thing I
thought of. Was like, who has the foresight to just walk into this tiger farm and be like, no, I'm going to camp out here for a half a decade. Some shit's about to go down. Get the cameras. We're not leaving.
It's one thing to like see that, you know, to slow down your car and watch the train wreck after it's happened. This is another thing to just see the fucking thing.
See the
rails
train
off
on the tracks and be like, and just, oh, know, here we go.
Just know 5 years down the road, this is falling off the fucking rails. This is.
You know, it's like every documentary, you know, director just has that sense of like, oh, this is going to end bad. someone get a camera. You mind if we hang out here for a while? And like, you could see the pain on the other documentary, the reality show guy's face talking about it. Like, he knew. Yeah. He's like, this fucking Netflix show is going to make fucking millions. I would have had it.
Done this.
I would have had it. I would have had it. I had all the film. I had it. I should be a fucking millionaire right now. Instead, I'm talking to this asshole about my shit.
All right, well, we've now become the worst.
We are the worst. Sorry, guys. Sorry. It's a slow week, so you get some Tiger King.
Yeah, it's a slow life right now. This is why everybody's talking about Tiger King.
Talk about perfect timing, man.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Netflix won on that. It's absurd.
Like, I wonder if they had this scheduled to come out now, or if they just had it in the chamber and they're like, release the Tiger King.
And you've got to think, like, Netflix normally doesn't give up their numbers. I think at some point they've got to give up their numbers on Tiger King.
They have to just be like,
they have to just say how many hours of life were lost to Tiger King. In the last, it's going to be in the billions.
It's going to be staggering, you know? And I mean, you got a reporter asking the president of the United States in a COVID briefing if he's going to pardon the Tiger King. Like, this is like, I want off this planet. Just get me off.
All right, for real this time. For real this time. Moving on. Moving on into more entertainment news.
Video games. We got video games.
Yeah, we got a video game thing. Here it comes. So we've got the Crytek developers saying that PS5 is easier to work on than the next generation Xbox coming up.
Which is such a misleading title for a headline, because you...
Aren't they all?
You assume that, like, okay, well, working on both systems being equal, the PS5's easier for developers to work on. But that's not the case. They're both not equal. The Series X is more powerful than the PS5, has different components to make it more powerful. They have higher ambitions when it comes to resolution and what they can do with that machine. So it's like saying, you know, an 88 Chevelle is easier to work on than a 2012 Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like, well, no shit, pal. No fucking shit. It's easier to work on the lesser of the two machines. They're still using some older tech and not trying to do groundbreaking things and this and that. Like, you know, so for me, this article is almost kind of frustrating that, like, well, now PS5 is going to get all better exclusive games because what developer is going to want to work on the harder system? A developer that has ambitions to make their game look the fucking best. That's who. Like,
yeah. And the 15 developers that Microsoft bought in order to have exclusive titles. So there is some truth to the fact that some of these developers might end up just going with PS5 over Xbox for the simple fact of they don't have to restructure the way they do business. And some developers won't have the ability to do so, especially when you look at like indie games and stuff like that. Like if you're going to take an indie game studio and tell them they have to now have a completely different, you know, way of integrating the games, and now they're going to have to do it separately. Maybe they do just go with PS5. Maybe some more indie games don't have the capacity to learn a new system in Xbox. But
I'm okay with that. If you don't have ambitions of greatness, take your ass to PlayStation. That's fine. that's fine.
Yeah, I could see it go. I could see it being potentially an issue. But at the same point, when you're going to next generation consoles, there should be some level of next generation technology and software that should be furthered. I think that should be the expectation.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So I don't see this being a big issue, especially for major developers. I think it'll probably only affect some of the smaller indie type developers that might have to just stick with what they know.
If you already got a game that's coded a certain way and it's really easy to just to port it to PS5 and you got to make that choice. Yeah. Okay. I see that.
Yeah. It's interesting, but you know, you're always going to side with the Xbox side of the argument.
Not always.
These kind of things.
I mean, there's
pretty much
Xbox
always.
has its faults, you know, but when it comes to their ambition, I always side with Xbox because they are always trying to do better and trying to advance gaming as a whole. Whereas PlayStation is just trying to push the cart along with their steady, you know, growth. You know, they're never really trying to. Our next story is about the PS5 controller. How many fucking generations did it take them to change their goddamn controller?
So that was going to be my next ask was one of the big complaints you always had for PlayStation was
the controller's made for baby hands.
The controller was tiny.
It's made for fucking baby hands. You know what I'm saying? I'm a man. Give me a fucking man controller. You know, and finally they did, but it took them five generations of gaming consoles and damn near 20 years to update their controller into a modern way. I mean, even I have like a wireless controller for my Nintendo Switch, and even the Switch controller is basically modeled after the Xbox controller. It was as an Xbox fan, I can say flat out, PlayStation does have some really good exclusives. They have a handful more than Xbox does. They do care about a lot of those titles. Xbox has the better controller. If you're a PlayStation fan and you can't just at least admit that the Xbox controller, especially the Elite controller, is not built more to conform to an adult-sized hand and, you know, be streamlined for actual gaming, then yeah, like, if you want to throw out my opinion, you could take yours in the fucking trash, too.
Yeah, I was actually never a big fan of PlayStation. The last PlayStation I played was PlayStation 2. I've not owned or even really played a PlayStation since then. But yeah, I think the new controller they're looking at, this, what are they calling it now? Not DualShock, but DualSense, that is supposed to have greater haptic feedback and some auditory things coming from the controller now.
I did see a lot of PlayStation fans saying that if you were going to change it, why didn't they go with a trigger system? They're still going with like dual bumpers. Yeah, rather than bumper trigger combo, which again, like, why? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I was playing some Nintendo 64 this weekend, and I mean, I'm still a big fan of that controller. I think I'd still take that one over a PlayStation controller. You got a trigger there, you got a joystick, you got everything you need.
Worst controller in history is the GameCube, though, I have to say. I hate that thing.
Yeah.
Worst controller. But I mean, I'm glad that they actually were just like, look, guys, we gotta, let's fix it a bit, but still kind of act like we didn't want to. Like, so we're gonna change it but keep it the same. From the comment sections of a lot of Facebook posts and shit, the PlayStation community seemed to be happy that they were, and even all the Xbox fans were just like good for you guys, like, it's about time. Like, way to step up.
All right, well, I think I guess our last little
entertainment story here,
and it's one I'm looking forward to. And
I think everyone should.
Everyone should, because you get Netflix losing The Office at the end of this year. They officially lose it. They can't stream the Office after this year. It goes to Peacock. And what does Netflix do in response? They say, "Well, we'll just create our own Office workplace comedy," and it's the Space Force. So we get a release date for the Space Force being May 28th now. And I definitely want to see this show.
Yeah. What are they paying this show?
I don't know. Like, how do you get Steve Carell back? And I think Steve Carell probably to some degree misses being, you know, the head of like a TV show. He's producing this show. He's created it. Like, I think this is him wanting to get back. But even like some of the other cast members, like, you get John Malkovich to join
a TV show. A TV, a half-hour TV comedy straight to Netflix. Like the elevator pitch for this show must be phenomenal. You know, Carell's just going around on Zoom calls with all these people. Like, look, guys, this is what it is. You really should get on this. And yeah, I do think, though, a lot of big-name actors, big-name movie actors, are kind of looking to do a little bit of TV. Now, TV isn't what it used to be, you know what I mean?
It's definitely been that way for the last couple of years. You're definitely getting more legitimate actors that you know, it used to be. Yeah, movie actors just shunned the idea of going to television.
It was a huge career downgrade back in the day.
Yeah, but no, I definitely think it's not that way. But still, like, you still have to be surprised when you see, like, John Malkovich joining some workplace comedy and being a part of that. You know, you see, you know, Lisa Kudrow in this show now. You get John Ralphio, Ben Schwartz, who apparently, like, from initial, like, shots is still just playing like John Ralphio, but he's just in a suit and tie. I don't know what his position is in this, but I think, but he still looks the same.
Any opportunity I have to do that to someone, I take it. fuck social distancing. You give me an opening, I'm going right in your grill. The worst.
Oh man. This show looks great, and apparently Netflix had to have either the season wrapped up or enough of it. Actually, I mean, they had the season wrapped up if Netflix doesn't do episodic releases. So they had to have had everything wrapped up to still say that they're going to open it up in May for May 28th.
Yeah, that's ridiculously fast, because they had to have started filming the show the minute Space Force was like in conception, because we just officially made a Space Force. Like, it just became official, but it was in the talks for months before that. So like, the minute they got word of it, they had to been like, oh, we're like run with it.
No, yeah, like Steve Carell saw the tweet where Trump said he was going to create a Space Force, and he just retweeted it, show coming. Like, I'm sure of it. Like, don't fact check me on that. But I'm sure he did it at some point, or he DM'd somebody else, a producer or whatever else, was like, hey, we're doing it again, because the co-creator of this was one of the creators that created the U.S. version of The Office, that brought The Office here.
The only downside about that is like, are the uniforms accurate now? Because now we have official uniforms. Now we have official logos. Like, is season, you know, season one's going to be the pilot season. Then season two, they come with the actual uniforms and the actual logos. Because I want it accurate.
All they probably did was wear like a green screen patch during all the things, so they could just put in the real logo later. And they probably can't use the real logo. Normally you can't.
I thought
You cannot.
So if I make, so Top Gun, they don't have the real Air Force logos in Top Guns.
So they'd have to get approved for it to use the logos, and then they're normally not allowed to use.
So they most likely did.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know, like, the original Top Gun was outright Navy propaganda. Like, that was a recruiting.
For sure. Like, yeah, it 100% was. So, but my thought would be, how can you, like, trademark a logo made for a publicly funded organization? Like, my tax dollars fund the Marines. I own that logo.
No. Incorrect.
that's my logic. Like,
you're incorrect on that.
Like, my tax dollars fund it. My tax dollars created it. I own you. Like, I own it.
I mean, I would say Star Trek owns it. and Space Force is borrowing Star Trek's logo. But no, I think they still have to go through some process to use it. That's why you see so many movies that the uniforms are close, but they're not exactly there. The logos are close, but they're not not the same. They don't wear the same ranks and stuff like that, even if they're wearing the same uniform, because they're not authorized to do so unless they,
that's a little messed
unless
up,
they go
I think.
Through some like significant vetting.
Well, like in movies that like that have the Chicago cops, the, those uniforms are pretty base. I wonder, like, yeah, if they have to sign off on it, because some movies and TV shows are pretty fucking accurate, you know, and others yeah. aren't. So I guess it's subject to approval.
I actually just, I hope that's not very close, because the problem is there's too many Tiger King fuckers out there that will like watch the Space Force comedy and actually think that that's the military.
Well,
so you've got
well, yes, okay, yes. Like,
we gotta keep some kind of separation there.
Yeah, Space Force recruitment numbers are going to go up at least a percentage point after this show releases. Whether that's good or not, I don't know. Well, speaking of Trump tweets and space again, we can move into our one space story for the week, which is...
Yeah, we got Donald Trump signing a bill or an order, which is encouraging the mining of moon minerals and asteroids.
What's the step process with this? Like, we don't even have a moon base.
Yeah, but you gotta legislate so that way when we get there, we could do whatever the hell we want.
Like, we don't even have a moon base yet, but we're gonna set up a drilling factory. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're gonna, like, people gotta be able to live on the moon before you could have a job on the moon, right?
Yes. I think this is the natural progression of things. We've talked about this on a few different, you know, we talk about like space tourism.
The Flintstone dinosaur isn't going to go off and then you just get back in a spaceship and go back up to a space station. That process seems a little expensive to be running a 60-day mining operation on the surface of the moon. Like, all right, time to go. And then you got a 3-hour commute back to the fucking, and like $50 million commute back to the goddamn space station.
Yeah, I mean, the history of this is we've always thought that we're somewhere down the road going to do this. Yeah, you know, there were space treaties signed in the 60s, the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which like specified that only scientific research could go and do anything with the moon. The U.S. didn't sign that treaty. The U.S. didn't limit ourselves to back in the 60s to only doing scientific exploration and preventing.
We're such assholes.
Again, in the 70s, in 79, the Moon Treaty or Moon Agreement, U.S. didn't sign it either. We've not limited ourselves to only scientific exploration to the moon. And then in 2015, Congress passed a law allowing American companies to gather resources from the moon. So Congress did this in 2015. So this isn't a Trumpism. This isn't just him shooting from the hip. This is in line with American capitalism that we see big rock. That big rock can make money. Yeah. And we're going to go get it.
Some motherfucker in Texas with big drills wanting to know what's underneath your surface, baby. Just sitting at home masturbating to pictures of the moon, like, oh, I can't wait to be inside you.
I mean, this is how we get to scale an actual space program that could one day pull off the Musk vision of, you know, shooting our consciousness out across the galaxy.
Man, we're about to have space tourism. I'm all for a moon base. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, if I'm 80 years old and one day I could just take an outer space cruise to the moon and see what that life be about, I'm not going to argue with it. My fear is that look what fracking does to the Earth. Look what fracking does to the Earth. Who knows what, you know, drilling deep into the Earth's core and possibly blowing shit up underneath so we can get minerals and rocks and whatever. God only knows what doomsday scenario could possibly come from all this.
Nah, I think we're all right. I think
sure. Sure. Hashtag science.
I think we'll be all right.
Hashtag science.
But I mean, there's, you know, there are asteroids floating around that are of just rare metals that, yeah, there's going to be lots of companies that want to go and attach themselves to these asteroids. And
oh yeah,
take
really,
every
really
bit
rich,
of
ambitious
it.
People are looking at things floating around in outer space, going, "How can I get these monies?"
But again, space exploration, space flight has to have profitable motives, because if it doesn't, then it's just going to be government agencies that are, you know, we got to the moon and we just stopped caring. It's like we won the space race, we got to the moon. All right, we're done here. We don't need to continue to progress. If it becomes profitable, we'll go back to the moon and then beyond it. If there's an actual reason for civilian companies to get involved, other than some government contract. So this is what has happened.
Not every profitable endeavor ends in the good of society. Let's put
Yeah, many of them are terrible. Which is, I mean, hopefully this one just ruins things like asteroids. I don't care. You can go destroy that rock. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's not like things are dependent on the moon, right? It's only 75% of the Earth's surface is controlled by the moon. Like, that's it. That's all. You know, only 75% of the Earth's surface is controlled by that giant rock in the sky. But we'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Yeah, I find the moon sketchier than asteroid mining.
Oh, you want to land on an asteroid and have it take you to God only knows where in the fucking galaxy? Be my guest.
Yeah.
Be my fucking guest. You blow a big crack in the goddamn moon that releases God only knows what into this, you know, our orbit, our whatever. Yeah, I might have a bigger problem with that.
Man, no, I think it's the natural progression of things. It kind of has to happen. And like I said, what I found interesting when I first saw the headline, I thought, you know, this is just more shooting from the hip from good old president. He just says what he says and then and then immediately like sign something to make it legitimate. No, this is right in line with U.S. thought since the space race in the 60s. Like this is what we do. We have always kept it wide open for
it. Just took
corporations
Trump
to
have the
there.
Balls to be like, fuck it, now is when we do it. You know, everybody in the 70s and 80s, they were just like, you know, I don't know if this is a good time to be fucking with the moon up there. And then and then you get Trump to come in like, no, we're going to trail that bitch.
Like, yeah, we're going to take you for all of your precious metals, whatever you've got. I don't care. Whatever. We're just going to scrape it so we can sell moon dust just so we have something to put in the Space Force gift shop.
There's him and a bunch of rich Russian oligarchs have been in the back snorting moon dust for the last decade because no one knows about that's what rich people do for recreation. we're running low on moon dust supply.
But you know, we've still got the NASA Artemis program is still trying to target getting back to the moon in 2024, and then establishing that sustainable human presence moon base on the moon by 2028. So, I mean, that's the government's program, is to have a sustainable base of operation there on the moon in the next 8 years.
Yeah, I just like, I think by announcing we want to drill it, we're just jumping the gun. Like, at least let people get up there and figure out if we can stay on the moon's surface for a 90-day rotation and have everything that we need to be functional, to be scientific, and like let's get there. Let's build the house before we start planning our first party. You know what I mean? Like let's build the house before you start planning the 4th of July barbecue.
That process is too slow, because then you get there and then you go into another 10-year development of the tools and everything else needed to do it. No, you announce it now, so that way by the time we get there, some of the companies, the ones that have billions of dollars to throw away, are already developing the tools necessary, the infrastructure necessary to maybe actually put it to use in short order after we get there.
Because if there's anything government contracts have taught us, you know, with the Air Force, is that we really need to rush things, right? like if anybody knows the history of how we build
jets.
Yeah,
but this isn't government contracts. This is him encouraging the private sector to get more involved in space, that hey, we're going to allow you essentially free reign to make money where you find it.
Even when we build jets, it's not the government building them. We still contract like a Boeing and stuff. So it's still private companies, you know, with giant pressure from contracts, you know, and we just know that doesn't turn well. We get jets that don't fly. We get bombs that don't blow up. Like, so we will eventually get drills that don't drill holes. That's what I'm willing to bet.
Well, either way, I think it, you know, you got to imagine even guys like Musk and definitely Bezos definitely looked at like signing this order, and they're just, you know, pulling off a Mr. Burns, super excited, ready to go.
And who wants to drill the moon? And you got Bezos and Musk like, ooh, me, yeah. pick me.
So you definitely got the ultra rich companies that were already planning on going to space.
Tesla already built the pickup truck that will look perfect on there.
Yeah, and they've already built the Starship, which is supposed to be used as a base of operations, which is supposed to be a sustainable habitat, essentially, structure that lands on the moon and stays there. So they're in place. They're ready to do it. This just confirms what they were always hoping, which was to turn a profit from landing in space. Other than just, you know, the ultra-rich guys paying $250,000 for a 10-hour flight on Virgin Galactic.
Yeah, meanwhile, we got a spaceship full of fucking Mexicans and Asian immigrants that are going to be up there being janitors and shit. Like, there are going to be exploited people in this, I promise you. There will be exploited people involved in this endeavor. Mark my words.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certain this is how we do things. In the end, there's going to be the scientists that go.
Yeah,
and then there's going to be
be five Mexican dudes in the back that don't speak English on a rocket ship.
Yeah, just like,
it's fucked up, dude. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about it because you know that's just how it's going to be.
All right, well. Then, this really just a follow-up from what we talked about last week. And then what we get this week is an interview with Edward Snowden, one of his kind of video interviews from Russia with Vice.com. And he goes on Vice to talk about that the governments right now are using coronavirus to build the architecture of oppression. And we talked about that worldwide we're starting to see this, not just here in the United States, as here in the United States our digital surveillance and stuff, it is powerful, but it's not to the level that we see in a lot of these authoritarian countries. The authoritarian countries, we talk about China, even to some degree what South Korea did, Hong Kong was able to do, Singapore, some of these countries absolutely apply this authoritarian approach and digital surveillance to further the oppression, to be able to track individuals and then force individuals into isolation and into control. And Snowden's warning that this is the trend, right? This is a global issue that is giving global governments excuse for mass surveillance.
Yeah, he just wants to sound his doomsday alarm, which he's very good at. And as we talked about it last week, is you're just going to see this more and more as the government continues to talk about extending the stay-at-home orders, as we keep going deeper and deeper into this kind of fear-mongering of the pandemic. There's going to be some really scary things that bubble out of this, and I am not looking forward to having these fights and discussions about freedom and government overreach and surveillance and the greater good. These are going to be hard arguments, because you're going to have a group of this country that really don't understand how easily freedom can die and be okay with, well, if you got nothing to hide, if you're doing nothing wrong, you shouldn't really care about what the government does and this and that. And yeah, I don't subscribe to that mindset. I really don't.
Yeah, I definitely think that the overreach, and I get more and more that way. I think, you know, when Patriot Act and stuff happened following the, you know, the attacks on 9/11, you know, I was 18, you know, when it happened, and my understanding of what was going on was pretty low, and I never looked at it as like a civil rights issue. You know, I just looked at it as like, okay, yeah, the government should use all the tools available to them in order to locate and prevent terrorists, right? You know, watch 24 and Jack Bauer, and you're just like, fuck yeah, get those terrorists. Dig in that cell phone stuff.
Interrogate
the fuck out. You know, you just, you get kind of enamored with that, that mindset. And but then, you know, now as you get getting older, and it's kind of like, I still have nothing to hide. I still have no reason to conceal what I do from the government. But at the same point in time, I might someday. Not because I plan on being a criminal, but because the government's interests may not always align with mine.
Exactly.
And you know, I don't want to find myself when I'm 60, all of a sudden on
Well, I always just look at it. I just always look at it as like the reverse marijuana effect. So how in our entire lifetimes, marijuana was illegal. You have all kinds of people doing life in jail for a plant that everybody knew wasn't harming society, wasn't harming people. And you had a lot of people that said, you know, well, I don't care what the government says. We're still going to cultivate this. We're still going to use this. And they're all in jail. And now 30, 40, 50 years later, it's completely legal in almost half the country. And you have people doing exactly what someone else was doing that is doing life in prison. So now imagine it just reversed, that you've been, you know, if marijuana was always legal and you smoked marijuana and this and that, and then all of a sudden one day the government just says, nope, it's illegal. Anybody with a plant is arrested and we're going to come take your shit. I mean, they literally did that in World War II with hemp. So when World War II came, we had a shortage of textiles. So they gave temporary permits to farmers to grow hemp to create ropes for parachutes and other textiles that hemp is really can grow really fast, and it's really easy to make. So they looked at hemp as a way to alleviate the war effort. 4 years after those permits were issued, and you have farmers just churning out hemp for the government, feeling like they're doing their duty to help their country, the government revokes their permits but doesn't tell anybody. They just come and arrest every farmer and seize their fucking land. That is American history. That is something that happened. So now with this kind of same stuff, just imagine whatever you're doing in your normal life that you think is perfectly fine because it's perfectly legal now. It becomes part of your daily life. And then one day the government just says, nope, it's illegal. Doesn't tell you. Doesn't give you notice. And just comes in and throws you in the fucking gulag. You're going to be wishing that you didn't have those fucking thoughts, you know, at that time.
Yeah. And yeah, this is where nowadays, you know, we have the technology to really know everything about everybody, to track everybody. You know, you get a press release from Apple and Google this week that says that they're working together to come up with what they're calling, you know, COVID tracing, which is what South Korea really did a very good job at. Was, okay, somebody test positive for it, tracing back all of the steps that they had digitally and looking at through surveillance cameras, not surveillance cameras, but just their CCTV cameras and cell phone data to know, okay, here's the people they were in close proximity to. So what Apple and Google are trying to do is do COVID tracing. And I talked about how they're going to leverage and make some tweaks to Bluetooth. So GPS can say, hey, here in the ballpark, they got into these buildings. And then Bluetooth can say, pretty accurately, they got within 5 feet of X amount of
this
phones.
This is like the comic book version of like Dr. Doom and Lex Luthor teaming up. It's like, I'm going to read the story, but you know nothing good's going to happen. nothing good's going to come out of this.
Yeah, this is now the cell phone manufacturers, right? Just about all the cell phones, as far as the market share, are either Apple or Google. So all of our little pocket traceable devices, and all of us leave our Bluetooth on at all times, pretty much. Most people have some kind of Bluetooth.
And even if you turn the switch off, who's to say it's off?
Yeah, that
who's to say it's fucking off?
And now you see that these companies are working towards making your Bluetooth always kind of just not connecting, but at least touching and tracking who it's touching, what are their cell phones and things it's touching. So that way, somewhere down the road, you know, if you test positive for COVID-19. GPS can say who was in the grocery store with you, and then Bluetooth can say, oh, you were in the same aisle of the grocery store with this person. And that data sounds beneficial for tracking a disease like this, and it sounds scary.
They're going to sell you on, this is how we're going to track COVID people. This is how we're going to track Amber Alerts. This is how we're going to track missing persons. So when your loved one goes missing, we can ping everybody that was in contact possibly with this person. They're going to sell it on the best case scenarios possible. And no one is going to talk about the worst case of privacy infringements and just overall, you know, just surveillance state that this is going to create.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to talk about it. So we had a member of the Facebook group post an article about like Clearview AI being used to support like the alt-right. And I didn't have a ton of time to dive into it, to really read multiple articles to find out what. But the one article that was shared did talk about how some of the people behind Clearview AI using this, like, you know, that goal was using Facebook images, whatever else, to locate people through just facial recognition that could be used through CCTVs and stuff later used by police organizations. And like some of the people in the background were talking about being able to use that as like a tool that, hey, we got a tool coming out in the next couple of years that we're going to be able to find every illegal in this country, every immigrant in this country. And, you know, when we go back to like our talks with like Cory Doctorow.
Imagine if the technology was around in the 40s. Man, the Germans would have been hunting the Jews very effectively back then.
In fact, right? And that, so that's what I'm saying when I'm bringing it up now, even though like I don't have a full grasp on what the, you know, the ties are between the two. But it just shows that, you know, there are some people that look at these surveillance things for their own personal beliefs, right? In this instance, it's immigrants, right? Oh, we can go and find, locate very easily every illegal immigrant through some of these surveillance techniques and give that all over to ICE or whoever. You know, we talk about it, you know, cops using it to find criminals. But then tomorrow's criminals may be today's perfectly law-abiding citizens, and that a change in government mindset makes us criminals. And yeah, that could be an issue.
Well, right? especially a society that invests heavily in private prisons where people have a profit motive for more people to be criminals. Like that's to me, that is always like the scariest thing about our country, is that we have a for-profit healthcare system and we have a for-profit prison system. And there are really rich and really powerful people that have a financial gain and profit incentive to either make me sick or make me a criminal. That, to me, those are the two scariest things about our country.
Yeah. It's definitely two areas that you would oftentimes consider, you know, that's a part of public good, that's a part of public necessity, and not necessarily the case here, and not just here, but in fairly decent portions of the world. But yeah, it's definitely a concern. So on Vice, they've now got a show on Vice TV called Shelter in Place. You can catch most of it on like YouTube and things. So they're diving into this as a topic, this surveillance state, the kind of social outcomes that are coming from COVID, not necessarily the disease, but some of the changes that are happening to society as a result. And it's definitely something I'm going to dive into and watch this Vice TV program. Suggest anybody else who finds this somewhat interesting or somewhat scary, go ahead and dive into it as it comes out every Thursday. All right. Well, with that said, I think that's a week. That's a week in news. Not a lot going on in the entertainment world, as we still see. Hopefully we start to resemble real life maybe in a month from now. Until then, we'll continue bringing you what is coming out on the tech front. And
summer's coming. We're going to run out of shows soon, and it's going to get really dark in the streets.
I'm just waiting. I mean, they did complete filming like The Boys, so that's still set to come out this summer. We still got a couple of shows that I'm looking forward to.
I honestly think we haven't hit civil unrest yet because of the constant streaming of television that we've had. But with the summer breaks for all the network shows, I don't know if Amazon and Netflix got enough in the chamber to keep people in their house when the weather gets nice, man. I don't know.
It's somebody right now, some TV studio right now is thinking how long this is going to go, and they're trying to think of a show to do. Virtually, like, we're gonna see, like, in 2021 there's gonna be this big balloon of animated shows because it's just gonna be a bunch of people at home.
Where's my quarantine reality show? Where's my quarantine reality show? Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's all coming. There's definitely people trying to figure out, like, if this keeps going, how do we make money? All right, well, that all said, let's get out of here for the end of episode 76 here. Thanks again for listening. Please join us over at and share any articles and things that you're interested in. As there's definitely some good conversation that takes place over there at the closed Facebook group. You can find us at thenerdcantina.com/community, which will redirect you there, or just look for the Nerd Cantina on Facebook. We'll be the one that pops up.
And be sure to head to the website. Megan's got a bunch of good reviews up there that we just did interviews for in last week's Cantina Conversation. All the authors were really gracious to give us some of their time. They retweeted it, and she's even been quoted a few times from some of the editors. So I can honestly say she did a really good job. So if you're looking for some quarantine entertainment, there's a nice list of book reviews up there for you guys to check out and support the show.
All right. Well, talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.